Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and today we are celebrating the Festival of Pentecost. Grace and peace to you who are sanctified in Christ, called to be his holy people in this present age, and united with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever looked through old pictures of yourself and felt a little jealous? It's a strange feeling, right? But maybe it was a picture from your wedding day or a bygone birthday. You looked so good, so young, so thin. You had a full head of hair, an energetic glow about you. And now, when you look at yourself in the mirror or at a recent picture, you wonder where it all went, because you don't quite look like that anymore. The day of Pentecost might feel like that for the modern-day Christian church. Pentecost is often referred to as the birthday of the New Testament church. It's a watershed moment for God's people. Jesus had been promising that one day he would send his advocate, his comforter, his spirit to his people. Suddenly on Pentecost, believers in Jesus began to speak in foreign languages that they had never studied before, all because the Holy Spirit enabled them to do so. But there was a purpose in this. On the day of Pentecost, the wonders of God were being declared to people from all over the known world who had gathered there in Jerusalem. Some thought a different kind of spirit was the cause of this speaking, but Peter quickly put that rumor to bed. He proclaimed the Christ that they had crucified was also the one whom God had raised from the dead. And suddenly, rivers of living water began to flow within his hearers. These people who had gathered in Jerusalem were cut to the heart and called to repentance. 3,000 were baptized that day. It was a wonderful event for the church, a blessing for the people of God. But it might be hard as modern-day Christians to look back at that day and not feel just a twinge of jealousy. Why can't we have those gifts? Why can't we have that impact? Why can't the church look that good, that vibrant, that youthful, and that exciting today? The book of Acts is the stirring record of the power of the Holy Spirit among God's holy people, but it does not mark the end of the Spirit's activity among the church. In fact, the Holy Spirit has continued to do work through his people who weren't there at Pentecost at all. He does the same among us today, too. In just a moment, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to listen for three things. First, what Paul says the Corinthians were before the Spirit worked among them. Second, the diverse ways the Spirit was blessing them now. And third, the Holy Spirit's singular goal for God's people. Allow me to read from 1 Corinthians 12. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is God's word for us, God's people. So I told you to listen for three things. What the Corinthians were before the Spirit worked among them, the diverse ways the Spirit was blessing them, and God's goal for them. Did you hear them? Paul said that before the Spirit called the Corinthians, they were pagans, influenced and led astray to mute idols. But the Holy Spirit worked powerfully through his word. He converted them from pagans to the people of God. Now they were confessing that Jesus is Lord. They were believing and confessing truths that they could not say and believe unless God had been at work in them. They were pagans. Now they were the people of God. The second part, the diverse ways the Spirit was blessing them, probably caught your attention most. We heard about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, messages of wisdom and knowledge, faith, the power to heal and perform miracles, prophecy, the ability to discern between spirits, the ability to speak in tongues, and then the ability to interpret those tongues. These nine diverse gifts all were the work of one and the same Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit, in his infinite wisdom, had determined to distribute these gifts among these Corinthian Christians. We see the same Spirit distribute some of these gifts today. Today, God's people benefit greatly from messages of wisdom. People who have this gift to apply the truth of God's word to the realities of our world. Today, the people of God grow from teachers who have a depth of knowledge about the word of God. Sometimes even from teachers whom they've never met in person. Today, the people of God benefit from faithful people, especially those who inspire others by the example of their own lives and encourage their fellow believers with their Spirit-filled words. God's church today even has many who are blessed with the gift of discernment. They can see through the convincing sheep's clothing and recognize wolves for who they really are. Yet there are other gifts we don't typically see in our Lutheran churches. We might even be suspicious of them when someone claims to be a Christian who has the ability to heal, to prophesy, to speak in tongues, or to interpret them. We might wonder if they're making it up. Or are we being left out? Are these gifts the genuine manifestation of the Spirit in these places or not? These are natural questions for curious and serious Christians. So it's good for us to keep a few things in view. One, we must recognize that God has worked in these ways. The Bible is full of healings, miracles, and prophecies. We trust all of them to be real and from God. Secondly, the Apostle Paul did not question the legitimacy of tongues in Corinth. In fact, he said, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues." In 1 Corinthians 14, he goes on to say, "But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified." Paul goes on to say that, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." Finally, we must also recognize that these manifestations of the Spirit served a church that did not have what we have, the fully revealed Word of God. These blessings were being given by God to a church that was still being established by God. In this same way, God had spoken to his people in the past. In the book of Genesis, for example, God used visions and dreams consistently to relate his will and plan to his people. In much the same way, miracles, healings, tongues confirmed to unbelievers that the one true God was really at work here among his people. That's the consistent result of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. They were a sign of God's presence and his power, meant to serve as a wake-up call, especially to unbelievers. Yet even in Corinth, where they had all these wondrous manifestations of the Spirit, things that you and I might be a little jealous of, there were still deep problems. When they gathered together for worship, Paul said, "Your meetings do more harm than good." How could that be true? Well, in Corinth, they were a congregation of experts. Everybody thought they knew better than the next guy. They had arguments about who was more important, Paul, Peter, Apollos, or Christ. They fought over the impact of the law of Moses and food that had been sacrificed to idols. Some thought marriage was harmful to the true believer. And yet at the same time, the Corinthians welcomed a man who married his father's wife. When they did come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, there were some getting drunk and others were leaving without partaking at all. It seems many did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Some thought disorder in worship was proof of divine activity. In many ways, the Christians at Corinth looked like a five-year-old who first found mommy's makeup. They thought they looked beautiful, but they were an ugly mess. Paul came to show them the most excellent way. The gifts weren't bad. They came from the Holy Spirit, who only gives good and perfect gifts. But these good and perfect gifts were being used poorly. The Corinthians had lost sight of the Spirit's singular goal in giving these gifts. Paul says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." They were using these wondrous gifts from God to serve themselves and their own agendas, not to give glory to God, not to serve one another, not for the common good. They had lost sight of the common good because they had lost sight of God's love. So their tongues were nothing more than clanging cymbals. Despite all their prophesying and faith, they were nothing. Despite all their devotion and generosity, they were gaining nothing because they had forgotten why God gave them these gifts in the first place. God gives good and perfect gifts because he is love, and the greatest gift from our Lord was Jesus himself. And this is the focus, the foundation of the people of God. The finest manifestation of our God was Jesus in flesh and blood. The Spirit of the Lord was poured out on Jesus too. And he tells us why in Luke 4. So that he could preach good news to the poor, freedom to the captive, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, the Lord's favor upon sinful people who desperately needed it. The Spirit's gifts were not given to Jesus to make him look more powerful or be more popular. He was empowered to love and serve others. This was Christ's common good. Should it be any surprise that the Spirit's gifts are meant to empower us to serve and love others more now? See, all these manifestations of the Spirit in Corinth were intended to shine the spotlight on Jesus as our Savior, not on the people that he had saved. God wanted his people to be wise unto salvation. He wanted them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted their faith in Jesus to increase. He wanted their miracles to point people to the one who has made all things right, who heals the sick and brings life to the dead. He wanted their tongues to confess that Jesus is Lord to all people. And that is what God wants for his church today. The heart and core of the work of the church is simple. Christ crucified and raised to life for sinners. This is the common good. This is the central goal of everything the people of God do. And this is why God is at work among us. This is why the Holy Spirit distributes his gifts today, just as he determines. The same God who, when the set time had fully come, sent his Son, has prescribed the very gifts of the Spirit that his church needs today. Perhaps the Spirit still blesses people with the ability to perform miracles or heal the sick. But if those deeds don't point people back to their need for a Savior and the Savior they need in Jesus, we need not be preoccupied with them. The Holy Spirit always points clearly to Jesus. The Holy Spirit could still bless people with the ability to speak in tongues, foreign or celestial. But if they do not speak clearly of Jesus as our Savior, they are nothing more than a resounding gong. They are not from God. Better five simple words, "Christ died for us all," than 10,000 unintelligible words in tongues. This is the Holy Spirit's gift. The Holy Spirit always and only shines the light, the spotlight on Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And yet, as the Apostle Paul points out, the Holy Spirit doesn't do this in exactly the same way through every single Christian. There are different kinds of gifts, service, and working. There are different kinds of gifts. People have different God-given abilities and proficiencies still. One Spirit distributes all these gifts. There are different kinds of service. People glorify God and serve their neighbor in a multitude of ways. The faithful employee, the devoted parent, and the helpful neighbor are letting their light shine in ways and places that professional people, pastors, teachers, cannot. The same Lord lives in and through them. There are also different kinds of working. God brings about different results in people who seem to share the same abilities and do the same things in the same places. God works in us today. He blesses us with our abilities, He blesses us in our activity, and He blesses us with the fruit of our labor. In all of these instances, it is the same God at work distributing His gifts just as He determines, just as He did on Pentecost. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the New Testament church, and the nearly 2,000 years of the Spirit being outpoured upon God's people since, let us not be filled with a twinge of jealousy, but let us rejoice. Let us praise God, recognizing we have not missed out on or been denied any good or perfect gift from God. In fact, we have been blessed by their blessings. The apostles' teachings about Christ is the foundation of our faith. Those who have run their race before us can encourage us with their life's example each step of the way. We have been blessed by their collective wisdom, knowledge, faith, and the miraculous deeds God has done through them. To God be the glory, great things He has done in them, and great things He is still doing through us. Amen. Thank you once again for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim Christ crucified to you, to show you the work of the Spirit and how He shines the spotlight on our Lord and Savior. If you'd like to learn more about this Jesus who is our Lord and the working of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find ways to join us in worship and to celebrate the diversity and the blessings that God gives to His people, and also learn more about the Jesus who lived for you, who died for you, who was raised back to life for your justification. May God continue to bless you and keep you.